Hey, the start of something special right here, man. Let's go.
Number one fantasy player right here.
Got past the line. Shut up. Know the rules.
I just want to say this to you. Right now, best in the game. I know.
Hello and welcome in to the pod after touchdown fantasy football podcast. I am your host, Sam Hoppin, joined as always by my co-host, Andrew Mackins, following an early bye week for us, taking some time to rest, recoup, and reevaluate where we want to go with this ship. But Andrew, how are you doing tonight? We got a little Tuesday night football in a couple hours here.
Yeah, early bye week. Don't worry, everyone. No one had COVID, so that's not the reason we were gone. Just felt like taking a break, which is, I think, important throughout the season. You know, taking the time when we need it. In terms of tonight, I am stoked for some Tuesday football because my Titans are finally playing a game. They've only got three wins so far, so it's technically a battle of undefeateds, Titans and Bills. I think it's going to be an exciting matchup.
Yeah, should be a good game. You're obviously going to be listening to this after it's happened, but we won't be talking about that much tonight since we haven't seen it yet. But we'll cover plenty of other stuff to get you ready for week six and beyond. So without further ado, let's kick things off.
And this game is underway.
Unfortunately, one of the biggest storylines this week was Dak Prescott's ankle injury, which will put him out for the season. Andy Dalton is going to be taking over, one of the more under-the-radar signings this offseason, actually benefiting the Cowboys. So, Andrew, how much, if at all, does this change your opinion on the rest of the Cowboys' weapons, primarily the pass catchers in Dallas?
I love this question, Sam, because we talk a lot about the Andy Dalton scale, for those of you who listen to Around the NFL podcast, a much more prominent podcast than ours, but they talk a lot about, you know, this Mendoza line for quarterback play, whether someone is, you know, good enough to be your franchise quarterback or not. And Andy Dalton has always been the prime meridian for QB play. He kind of goes up and down depending on the surrounding talent. And I think this is the best test possible to figure out on which side of that line Andy Dalton actually sits, because he does have some of the best surrounding weapons that he's ever had. He's been successful in the past, so I am not worried that much about his weapons. I think that Andy Dalton should be able to distribute the ball in this offense fairly easily. I mean, if we have any confidence in Kellen Moore as an offensive coordinator, I think that Andy Dalton can get it done and that Kellen Moore can, you know, work to Dalton's strengths. I think Dalton, you know, had some good throws last week that set up the win at the end of that game. And it goes without saying, you know, the schedule seems fairly favorable for him in these next few games, too. And each of these next three games, Cardinals, Washington, and Eagles are all winnable for them.
For sure. Andy Dalton, in relief of Dak Prescott last week, completed 9 of his 11 passes for 111 yards, which is pretty good. Most of that coming in the second half of the game, obviously. And for me, I think the biggest hit goes to Michael Gallup, who was already very boom bust. I just don't think the Cowboys or Dalton himself take as many deep shots with Andy Dalton. I think Cooper becomes the safest option. If he wasn't already, he was averaging 11 targets per game through the first 5 weeks, which is just outstanding. I mean, a level of consistency we haven't necessarily seen from him in his career. And I think CeeDee Lamb just becomes that more boom-bust option in the offense. Dalton Schultz, again, is just sort of a low-end tight end one at this point, given the rest of the tight end landscape.
Yeah, Cooper had one of those games where he just kind of disappeared, like he happens to throughout his career. He'll have games where he's nowhere to be found. But before that, you did see more consistency from him than we've ever seen before. So he's definitely not someone I'm trying to trade away at this point. If anything, you might have an opportunity to slightly buy low, especially with the Dak to Dalton handoff.
Yeah, I think there is an opportunity. I mean, Dak, let's not beat around the bush. Andy Dalton is a downgrade from Dak Prescott, especially when it comes to, you know, fantasy football value that the quarterback drives. But it's not like going from Dak Prescott to Kyle Allen or something like that. I don't think it's that big of a drop off. So certainly could be an opportunity to buy low. That they're obviously going to be passing a lot in the next couple of weeks anyway, because while those games are winnable, they are going to be competitive, and some of the other teams can put up points for sure. Okay, let's move on to our mental health minute. Obviously, we started our mental health initiative about 5 months ago, and it was in the midst of the pandemic. And one of the things that I brought up when we first started was that at any given time, 1 out of 5 Americans will be experiencing a mental illness. So that's about 20% of the population. And there was a report that came out that since the pandemic has started, this has basically doubled. So now, you know, basically 2 out of 5 people are experiencing a mental illness these days with the pandemic. And that doesn't sound like a lot, so wanted to put it into perspective. So we talk about Scott Fishbowl pretty regularly on this show, and there are 1,440 people competing in that tournament. Based on these stats, we would expect nearly 600 people in that group to be dealing with some sort of mental illness. So a lot of the reason why we're doing, you know, what we're doing with the mental health initiative and all that is to drive awareness that this is a serious issue and is something that a lot of people deal with on a day-to-day basis. And I think it's also a reminder that you're not alone. You're not the only person that's going through, you know, depression or anxiety or stress. There are plenty of other people that are dealing with those things on a day in and day out basis. So I just want to remind people that, again, stay positive and try to, you know, do your best to look at the bright side. But again, the big message here is knowing that you're not alone and there's plenty of other people that are out there to help and hopefully make life better for you.
Yeah. And we're always available if someone needs a sounding board too. Like, that's what I think, you know, being in the fantasy community, it's important for us to say, like, our DMs are open. And I know I get why some guys who are larger, like, why their DMs aren't open. So I'm not trying to create like a divide there. But for us, like, people aren't DMing us for fantasy advice. Maybe more so you, Sam, than I, because you've been doing great things with your data visualization on your Twitter account. But I'm always happy to talk through things with people if they've got questions or if they need someone to talk to. So I think that's, you know, in the "you're not alone" thing, we want to be like myself, like I want to be an ally to those who are struggling as well when I'm not like struggling myself.
Yep. Without a doubt. Well, let's move on to our favorite segment of the week. It is our DiGiorno Players of the Week. Garner, hit the music.
All right, Sam, I'm going to go first this week because my DiGiorno Player of the Week is Juju Smith-Schuster. Funny enough, he's got some pizza deal with Pizza Hut in the past. He's picking the wrong brand because this week, when Chase Claypool goes off for 4 touchdowns, Juju only managed 5 targets, 4 receptions, 28 yards. He's been a touchdown-dependent wide receiver and is killing people's fantasy teams. You might as well drop him for Chase Claypool at this point. Claypool taking the league by storm. Deontay Johnson, he'll get healthy at some point. Too many mouths to feed, quote-unquote. I don't know what to do here. Juju, I'm sorry.
Wow, dropping him is quite the reaction to poor week 5 performance. One guy that I know that you can drop is Daniel Jones. He was playing against one of the worst defenses this season and couldn't even manage double-digit fantasy points against them. I mean, I get you're missing Saquon, but how do you only throw for 276 yards against a team that had been averaging 460 passing yards allowed in the prior three games? I mean, that's just absurdly bad with everything that's going on with the Cowboys. He should have been able to tear him apart.
Why did we ever think he'd be a good potential breakout candidate? It's awful.
It's awful. And this was supposed to be the time when the schedule opens up and you can be confident in playing him, but he has just not
been good. I played in a 2 QB league. I think someone nominated him early on, so I was like, oh, I gotta take him. He's like one of my guys. And I've held on to him through the schedule. And then this week, I actually started him over Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oof.
And I still have a shot. I'm still have a shot. Josh Allen's who I'm hoping doesn't do too well. But that is like not great. Even in 2 QB, you like can't take single digits because there's so many different streaming options. It's really tough.
Well, that brings us to the meat of our show. It's kind of a good segue because today we're going to be talking about players that we are in and out on for the rest of the season. So not just week 6 specifically, but for the rest of the season. We had some time to talk in our bye week about how we want to attack the rest of our season, and we're going to be switching it up each week, doing a different segment as sort of the primary aspect of our show. We'll still do some start sit questions later on, but want to just sort of change it up and give a little bit of flavor. So like I said, for today, we're going to focus on some players that maybe we weren't as confident in that we're now very confident in, or vice versa. Some guys that we doubted early on, but whatever. We move on. We're going to talk about some guys that we're in and out on for the rest of the season. Andrew, I'm going to hand it off to you to go first.
Yeah, of course. I love this as a little transition for our, our meat of the show. Not sponsored yet, like our DiGiorno Players of the Week. But so two players I'm in on for the rest of the season. I'll start with one, and it's the guy I watched last night. And this is kind of like, this is obvious. Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert looks amazing as a QB. Prayers up for Tyrod Taylor as well as Dak Prescott for the injury that he's had to suffer. But it was the right move for Anthony Lynn to start Justin Herbert and has really given this pass game new life. Even with Keenan Allen getting hurt on Monday Night Football after his first touchdown, you're able to see the resurgence of Mike Williams, who's not a 50-50 ball guy. He's a 90-10 ball guy. So just throwing it up to him, and Justin Herbert throws good balls. I love where that offense is going, despite them being a, below average team overall. And I think, if you could get him in Dynasty, good luck. But if you can pick him up in redraft, I think you can stream him in the right spots. Because we think that the Saints' defense is supposedly like good, or somehow, Mike Evans gets shut down by Lattimore when they play. But Justin Herbert was able to make this an easy matchup. So maybe that's a good defense to stream against going forward as well.
Yeah, the Saints, obviously, that whole team outside of Alvin Kamara is just sort of a bit of a conundrum right now, because their values have all changed. The Chargers do have a bye in week 6, so it might actually be a little bit easier to get your hands on him. But following the bye, they play the Jaguars, the Broncos, the Raiders, the Dolphins, and the Jets all in a row. So that's a very positive schedule. The next couple of games are Buffalo and New England, but then for the fantasy playoffs, he gets Atlanta, Las Vegas, and Denver again. So I certainly like him as a redraft pick for sure, if we can grab him. I will admit I was not the highest on Justin Herbert entering this season. I thought it was foolish for the Chargers to draft him at number 6 overall, but he's got some things to pick, to fix up, but I will admit that he makes that offense a lot more exciting and a lot more fantasy relevant than Tyrod Taylor did.
Yeah, some of the throws, I'm sure some of the throws and the decision making that he's made is still obviously some room for improvement. But the fact that he's made some of the throws he has already, I think we see some really special things there.
No doubt. Well, the first player that I'm in on for the rest of the season is also a rookie. Actually, the two players that I'm in on for the rest of the season are rookies. But the first one being T. Higgins. He just sort of, he looks like he's the real deal. Odds are A.J. Green is going to miss some time after re-aggravating a hamstring injury. And since week two, T. Higgins has averaged 7.5 targets per game. The Bengals have shown that they're not afraid to let Joe Burrow just throw the ball 50 plus times. They're going to be in negative game scripts more often than not, which will inherently benefit the passing attack. So Higgins is that X receiver. I mean, I think Tyler Boyd is still the number one option in that offense, but Higgins has the potential to put up a lot of boom weeks. And again, this is, you know, he's probably, I would say, a low wide receiver 3 in redraft at this point, and certainly could bump up to a high-end wide receiver 3 by year's end if, you know, A.J. Green does actually miss significant time, or he just straight up takes the role that A.J. Green used to have.
Yeah, I think what you're getting at there, Sam, is T. Higgins is taking this role over from A.J. Green, and we don't know, you know, obviously if they're competing for the same position and the and like the reps and routes run there, then they're kind of cannibalizing each other. So you can't completely buy into T. Higgins as like a, you know, every week starter, but definitely a spot starter for buy purposes. And there's total opportunity for him in terms of upside to, you know, to take over the role entirely.
Yep. Who's the second guy that you're in on this for the rest of the season?
Yeah, another guy I'm in on is actually a wide receiver, so makes a decent segue here. And it's going to tie in with one of my outs, which I'll talk about right away after this one, or after your second in. But anyway, that in is Marquise Brown, and I think his metrics have continued to stay solid or even gone up the last couple of weeks. He's seen at least 6 targets in every game, and his snap percentage continues to increase, which I find interesting because, you know, I haven't had a close tracker on the Ravens this year so far. I mean, obviously they're doing well. I believe they're like 4-1, right? But the run game has not been as dominant as it felt like last year. And so we had kind of assumed this from the beginning of the season, like they're going to have to lean on the pass more. And they did that against the Bengals this last week. They used both the defense and, you know, forcing the ball to both Andrews and Marquise Brown. Those are pretty much the only two guys that see enough production worth starting. So I think that makes Marquise Brown a great, you know, guy to put in your lineup on a weekly basis.
I'm in on this with you, if I will say. He had 10 targets last week. The week before, he was tackled at the 1 yard line. So he certainly one of, if not the top option for Lamar Jackson. I mean, I think he's getting the bulk of the targets. Mark Andrews has just been the one to be able to convert those into touchdowns. It'll be hard to acquire Marquise Brown on the low right now because he's coming off a game with his first touchdown. But if, you know, another part of this is just instilling confidence in the people that have Marquise Brown on their rosters. I think the worst of him is behind. He'll have some of the games like he had against Kansas City where he only had 2 catches for 13 yards, but every other game he's had, like you mentioned, he's had at least 6 targets and has had at least 42 yards. I mean, he can easily put up a 5-catch, 100-yard day. So I really like where you're going with this. The other guy that I'm in on, we'll get to this quick before we talk about your out, but it's Antonio Gibson for Washington. It's really only him and J.D. McKissic in the backfield right now. Peyton Barber has been just sort of phased out of the backfield. He hasn't seen a snap share above 10% the last 4 weeks. So that's really good that it's a two-headed monster. The ceiling obviously isn't going to be there like it is with some of these other running backs because he plays for Washington, which is a terrible team. They're not very good. As exciting as it was to see Alex Smith back on the field, he did not perform very well. I mean, he had like 36 yards in an entire half of football, but Antonio Gibson is seeing the bulk of the running back rushes and is seeing a decent target share as well. So he's got a pretty good floor. There may be some games if he can find the end zone that he will give you those ceiling weeks, but I'd be confident with him as my running back too for the rest of the season.
Yeah, you love to see that opportunity. And the crazy thing for me, which I mentioned on a Discord show on Sunday, is just the fact that he is, you know, profiles as a pass catching running back. McKissick is there too, but he's the guy with the higher upside, Gibson. And he's playing in an offense that, you know, not only was, for at least last week, Kyle Allen was the starting quarterback and he played with Christian McCaffrey last year, but the offensive coordinator is Scott Turner. Norv Turner's son, if you can believe that, kind of a little throwback to Norv Turner there. But Scott Turner was the quarterback's coach for the Carolina Panthers last season. And I always like to see those, you know, continuity or personnel, like kind of system matchups, because, you know, the last couple of weeks, people have been saying Christian McCaffrey's system running back, jokingly, of course. But, you know, can Antonio Gibson be a Christian McCaffrey light? I think absolutely, based on the people around him.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Well, let's move on to some players we're less inspired on. We'll go to yours first. The first player that you're out on is Mark Ingram, and I also agree with this one extremely.
Yeah, and I want to discuss this a little bit just for managers out there who have Ingram, but also have, you know, Dobbins in their lineups, because I almost put Dobbins, but you have to hold him just for the upside that he ends up getting the full workload as the season progresses. That's the way I feel about it. But I almost wanted to put him as an out because we've been waiting so long for this, for him to get the workload. I think last week he had like one carry for 30 plus yards. So it's like, why aren't you giving this rookie the ball more? Who knows? Like, they had the lead. They could have probably salted the lead away more if they just gave Dobbins more carries. But we're not talking about Dobbins. We're talking about Mark Ingram, and he's the older guy in this, you know, three-headed monster that includes Gus Edwards, a guy who before this season has had like 5 yards per carry on his career, which is pretty solid. But Ingram, I know you've done some research into this week, Sam. Like, Ingram has not been getting much opportunity in terms of, you know, majority compared to Dobbins or Edwards. And I don't think either of those three guys are getting many looks in the passing game either. Like, Ingram was overly efficient in the passing game last season. And I bring this up in contrast to Marquise Brown because, you know, it looks like they are starting to pass the ball more. They're more varied in their attack. I'm almost looking at the Ravens schedule right now, and it's like hard for me to figure out who they are because they've beaten up on bad teams and they really got beaten up by the Chiefs, and they play like the Eagles this upcoming week, like week 6, which I would expect them to win. Then they play the Steelers, which I think will be a real test. And then the Colts. And I don't know who the Colts are either. So ultimately, I don't know if you can even start Mark Ingram at this point. Like, there's gotta be some waiver wire option out there that would be a better spot start than Mark Ingram.
So to your point, J.K. Dobbins leads the Ravens backfield in snap share through the first 5 weeks, but that's only at 35%. And Mark Ingram has 33% snap share while Gus Edwards is at 32%. The thing is that in neutral scripts, when the game is within 8 points, Ingram has 25 total opportunities to just 7 each for Dobbins and Edwards. So Ingram is being used as the primary back when the game is relatively close. It's just that most of the games that the Ravens have had have either been them getting blown out or them blowing out their opponent. The to your point, the Ravens are have the seventh lowest percent of passes going to running backs at 16% in the league. So that, to your point, they're not throwing to the running back at all. Ingram had five receiving touchdowns last year when he had five receiving touchdowns in his career up to that point. So the regression is certainly hitting him quite a bit. So I honestly am not going to trust any of these guys in my lineup in the backfield right now until either one of them gets injured or just happens to get phased out. But right now it just seems like a three-headed monster.
Yeah, it's tough because that game script data that you just listed off there, like what it tells me is that they're still trusting Mark Ingram when the game is close, but Ingram isn't helping them actually get an advantage when the game is close because he's not doing anything with those carries, which right. means like, okay, it's cool that when they're running the clock out that they might be using Dobbins more, but they're not using him enough. And I mean, there's five different ways you could say it right there in all of that analysis, but it is hard to start any of them if they're not getting touchdowns or double digit points each week.
I hear that. Well, let's stick with some running backs and a player that I'm out on, and that's David Montgomery. Again, it's crazy how things switch so quickly, but he's got the opportunity available to him with Tariq Cohen going down. He is just terribly inefficient. It is so bad. I mean, he had 10 carries for 29 yards last week, and I get that that was against the Buccaneers, who have a good run defense, but he saved fantasy managers with a touchdown last week, and people are saying, oh, well, his offensive line is terrible. Like, he's getting, you know, tackled behind the line of scrimmage, so he doesn't even have a chance to gain any yards. Well, according to Football Outsiders, the Chicago Bears are 12th in adjusted line yards for run blocking. So it's clearly not the offensive line that is all to blame for him. I mean, I know yards per carry is not our favorite metric, but he's averaged less than 4 yards per carry in his entire career. He just scored his first touchdown of the season this past week, like I mentioned. And I just think the offense is not good enough where, even though he is a bell cow back, you know, he might have one of those games where he scores, falls into the end zone. But he, outside of that, he'll put up 7-8 half PPR points a game. That's just, you know, if you can sell him high right now coming off of this game and saying like, oh, you know, look at this opportunity that he's got. I mean, he had several targets as well, but
yeah,
it took him, you know, I think I saw something the other night. It took him 7 targets or 7 receptions to get his receiving yards over on the night, which was like 18 and a half yards. Like, those are not, I mean, yeah, if it's a full PPR, like, that's good, but that's just not efficient whatsoever and not something I want to deal with in my lineup.
Yeah, it's so funny because maybe we buried the lead, maybe we didn't, but we are actually facing each other in a dynasty matchup right now. I'm down like 4 points. I have Stephon Diggs and Jonnu Smith going tonight, so hopefully they can compile enough yardage to get me there. But in that league, David Montgomery had over 19 points because of 7 receptions in PPR. And like, you could, I guess to Sam's point, like, you could probably convince another manager in your league that he is going to get all of the receiving work that Tariq Cohen left behind based on this one game sample size and run with it and see if you can get like Antonio Gibson, like Sam mentioned, or I don't know, a wide receiver if you have need there and someone is hurting after some running back injuries. Like, I mean, Dalvin Cook, he'll probably be okay, but he's got the bye week coming up. Yeah, I think there are opportunities where you could sell him high and get another player who's maybe on the low or hasn't achieved their full upside yet.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, let's move on to the last player that you're on. The last two that we've got are actually two players from the same team.
Yeah, it's the Atlanta Falcons. you know, Dan Quinn, we're sorry that you got fired after all these years. Same with Thomas Dimitroff. But, you know, you guys are, I hope, living, you know, in a high upper class neighborhood and feeling okay during COVID. You're financially secure. So you can't complain too much about losing your job here. Other than Falcons fans, like, they can complain, because for all this talk about Dirk Cutter's pass offense being great and like they were able to sling it a bunch the first few weeks, you had these guys like Calvin Ridley not even get a catch against our Packers. And then Hayden Hurst, he's just been, you know, not instilling a lot of confidence early on, because you want to at least see some floor with the tight end. And then maybe if they do get a touchdown, then that's the upside. But he's had like less than 5 points just the past few weeks now, multiple times. I will say, at late round QB, friend of the pod, JJ Zacharyson, has said you should hold Hurst based on his target share in a high volume pass offense. But for me, like, as a Hurst manager in a couple different places, I need to find a different option instead of rolling him out every week, because I can't wait for him to just turn it around.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is one of the situations. I mean, we talked about Dalton Schultz earlier in the episode, but I think it would be close between which of those two I would prefer rest of season, because there are probably more, you know, this is a weird way of saying it, but more better options in Dallas, but that offense has just sort of looked a little better again. And there's the quarterback change, obviously, but it's, you know, Hayden Hurst, if Julio Jones is out, might be the third best option. But again, we don't know. I mean, Olamide Zaccheaus, I think I'm saying that right, is sort of breaking out a little bit. So maybe he steps up in the totem pole of targets in that offense. So who knows? But the guy that I'm out on is the quarterback that's thrown him the ball, and that's Matt Ryan. Like I mentioned, Julio Jones can't seem to stay healthy. The team is just going to be in complete disarray following the firing of Dan Quinn. I believe one of their defensive coaches is going to become the interim head coach. Matt Ryan could have been in our DiGiorno Players of the Week this week, because he didn't even hit double-digit points this week against Carolina. And, you know, Carolina, maybe that's one of those defenses that we need to start taking a little bit more seriously, but they don't have nearly the type of playmakers that should have plugged him up. And I get that Todd Gurley had a decent game on the ground, which takes away production from Matt Ryan, but I don't know. Matt Ryan just looks like he's almost over that hill at this point. I mean, there have been some talks and whispers about what the Falcons do with him after the season. I mean, if they have a top two or three pick in the draft, do they move on with him, or what do they do? So he obviously doesn't have that rushing ability that a lot of the other top quarterbacks have. I think they'll still probably have the volume because they are not a great team and they're going to be coming from behind pretty often. But if I could, I'd be looking for other options elsewhere. I mean, I'd probably rather have Herbert at least for the next several stretch of games than I would Matt Ryan, because, you know, Herbert's actually been connecting on some of the deep balls that he's been throwing.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's so weird for starters, because Calvin Ridley was able to have himself a day, 10 targets, 8 receptions, 136 receiving yards. But Russell Gage and Hayden Hurst could not fill like the Julio Jones void. And I think it was just because, like, one game sample size, but against this Panthers defense, what it tells me is that Ridley is good and these other guys are just not as good. They're not nearly as good of players.
Yeah.
And then you bring up like Matt Ryan just as it, I mean, I'm with you there. Like, looking at other options makes sense in streaming. There's always quarterbacks you can pick up. Do you think then that the Falcons are in the tank for Trevor scenario, or do you think that they're going to end up winning too many games down the stretch? Like, if you're Arthur Blank, you would love to have Trevor Lawrence come in with this, you know, the weapons that you currently have on this roster, if you could like pluck him from Clemson right now.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? if you really look at the team closely, I mean, Julio Jones is, like I've mentioned, he's, you know, nearing the end of his career. He's not nearly, it doesn't seem like he's the same player as he was in years past. Same thing about Matt Ryan, what I just said. Calvin Ridley is really the lone bright spot in that offense. So I wouldn't be shocked if they did just like a whole entire clean slate and said, you know what, new coach, new GM, you're going to have, you know, full reign over this. You know, you can get Trevor or Justin Fields and just sort of start over. But I don't know. It'll be tough to tell. It depends on who they bring in, I think, to replace Dan Quinn.
I mean, if they've had this defensive-minded coach for so long and the defense has been bad for so long that you'd think they would go with an offensive coach to play to their strengths. But on the same note, like whoever they bring in as GM, I feel like it's completely open for them to target a pass rusher as well. Like they've never had like a pat, and this is getting more football than fantasy football. We are not an IDP podcast, but they've never had a pass rusher outside of maybe Vic Beasley for like half a season. And so you got to consider that too.
Yeah. The thing is, sorry to cut you off, but
you're good.
If they do still believe in Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and they get a top five pick, I would think they would be in a position to trade down and acquire more assets, whether they're draft picks or players even, to help them try and quote unquote win now. Because if you think about what the NFC South is going to look like a year from now, Tom Brady could be retired, Drew Brees could be retired, or even 2 years from now. I mean, I don't know how old Matt Ryan is off the top of my head, but I would expect those two quarterbacks to be gone soon. I don't know what the Panthers' potential process is for the next couple of years as well. So the Falcons could be in a good spot to take over that division once those two quarterbacks leave. So it's a longer discussion for another time. We'll obviously get that this offseason when we find out more about who's taking over. But before we wrap up, let's not do this. Andrew's going to say something. So go on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Quick note. I believe Matt Ryan's like 35 or 36 years old. So you could see, you know, a Green Bay situation where they, you know, hopefully they trade down instead of trade up, but they get a quarterback with their first round pick that's later in the draft. And then he kind of, you know, waits in the wings until Matt Ryan, you know, can't play anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point. We'll see what happens. But before we wrap up, let's get into some start-sit questions. Our start-sit today is brought to you by our partners over at Thrive Fantasy. So Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props, and we want all of you to come hashtag prop up with us on Thrive Fantasy. The guys over at Thrive are doing some great work. They have eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they really only ask you about the top tiers in a respective sport, the NFL in this situation. So you don't really need to dig through to find value on player props like you would have to do on other sites. So for their NFL contest, all you need to do is choose 10 out of the 20 player prop options to build your lineup. And this is obviously a much smaller field of players to choose from than your traditional DFS lineups. And each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over-under based on its likelihood to occur. So our listeners can use promo code PAT50 when they sign up today, and you will receive an instant $50 bonus on your deposit of $20 or more. And you can download the Thrive Fantasy app in the App Store or Google Play Store today or by visiting their website, www.thrivefantasy.com. So sign up and hashtag prop up with us today. So let's get into these start sit questions. The first one is Ronald Jones coming off of his best day of the season last week against the Bears. He plays another NFC foe, the Green Bay Packers, or James Robinson versus the Detroit Lions.
You know, I think that Ronald Jones had some promising metrics last week against the Bears in terms of his carries. He hasn't, I think he's seen the end zone only once this year so far. So in terms of yards correlating to touchdowns, we could see him score in this game. I, being the Ronald Jones truther, am inclined to take Ronald Jones. I don't know if the Packers, you know, rush defense has proved anything for me yet. And James Robinson didn't look too hot last week against the Texans, which was supposed to be a plus matchup, which is why I'm the one that created this start sit.
I'm going to go with James Robinson. He was getting a bunch of dump off passes from Gardner Minshew last week. He's getting the vast majority of the rushes in that offense, and Detroit is not a scary matchup by any means. I think we expect Leonard Fournette to be back and healthy this upcoming week, so that could likely carve into Jones's opportunity as good as he looked.
Yeah, well, I would watch that for sure, because we don't, again, Arians could just torpedo that whole situation.
Okay, so the next one is Chase Claypool. We talked about him earlier, begrudgingly, against Cleveland, coming off of his big game, or Darius Slayton versus the Washington football team. I'm going to go with Darius Slayton. I usually have a tendency to fade players the week after a blow-up game like that, which is may not be the best process and doesn't always deliver the same results, but people are going to be very excited to start Chase Claypool again. And that Cleveland defense is actually looking pretty good. So I'll take the upside with Darius Slayton against the Washington football team defense.
I think we talked about Daniel Jones at the top of this, and it doesn't inspire any confidence in me to start Darius Slayton this week. I don't even know what his stats were last week, but he was supposed to do well the week prior. I think he had a decent matchup and he didn't deliver there either. So depending on, again, injury, like if Deontay Johnson isn't playing, then I think Chase Claypool is going to get enough opportunity to be interesting. So I'll just go contrarian and say Chase Claypool again. He's not going to get 40 points. Everyone knows that, but I think he could take some Browns matchups, you know, pretty handily.
Okay. Next one is Gaskin versus the New York Jets, or Kareem Hunt in the game we were talking about versus Pittsburgh.
Miles Gaskin. No, I don't know if I can. It's against the Jets. I'm inclined to take Miles Gaskin. As much as I love Kareem Hunt, I am going to go Miles Gaskin.
I'm going to go with Kareem Hunt. Is this, I've been looking for one. Is this one that you'd be willing to make a bet on to benefit our mental health initiative?
Yeah, I'd be willing to make a bet on any of these, but I'm curious if we get to the bottom and we're on the opposite of all five, if we just create a little fantasy lineup across all five. A parlay. Yeah.
Ooh, we could do that. Okay. Let's talk about that in a minute. Then our next one is Robert Tonyan, Big Bob Tonyan versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or Dalton Schultz on Monday Night Football versus the Arizona Cardinals.
I'm going to go Schultz here. Cowboys offense, we've mentioned a few times. And I think that if Adams is truly back, that Tonyan ends up taking a bit of a backseat.
This is probably the toughest one for me. I'm leaning Tonyan. I guess I'll just stick with Tonyan just to keep.
Wait, no, were you leaning Tonyan before I said Schultz, or did you feel like you had to go the opposite way once I said
I was Schultz. Leaning Tonyan because, yes, Davante Adams will likely be back, but Alan Lazard won't. The Cowboys will likely be able to run all over the Cardinals. I don't think the Cardinals run defense is that good. So I think there are as many ways for Tonyan to succeed. Again, probably won't have a 3-touchdown game like he had in week 4, but I think he's got a solid floor for this week. But let's get into our last one. It's Jerry Jeudy facing the New England Patriots, or Mecole Hardman versus the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to go with Mecole Hardman. Sammy Watkins is likely going to miss a couple weeks, but I just, you know, the Buffalo defense is good. I think Hardman's just got a chance to, you know, break a big one off and score a long touchdown.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Broncos offense right now and going up against New England defense. I'm sure now they've, you know, essentially had like 2 weeks to prepare for this Broncos game, so the Patriots should roll them. I would have to go Mecole Hardman here as well, especially, you know, our another friend of the pod, Ben Gretsch, had touted him in the offseason and said, especially when Sammy Watkins is out of the picture, Hardman's going to see more opportunity. So I would go with him there. And in terms of the bet, we could do the first four guys. We're doing two running backs, a wide receiver, and a tight end. We went opposite on each of them. So combined half PPR points, whichever lineup scores more, the loser would have to pay, what do you want to do, another $10 or $5 to the Fantasy Football Mental Health Initiative? I mean, I guess it's, I would go as high as $20 just because it's like $5 per player. But I'm good with 10. I'm good with 10 also. Whatever.
Okay, let's stick with 10 then. let's stick with 10. So I've got James Robinson, Kareem Hunt, Darius Slayton, and Robert Tonyan. You have Ronald Jones, Chase Claypool, Miles Gaskin, and Dalton Schultz. So not the most conventional lineup, but
yeah, it doesn't feel as good. Lineup, it doesn't feel like the lineup I would start in a real game now that I'm looking at it next to these other guys.
Hey,
like,
just some extra skin in the game, some more interesting things to be watching in week exactly. Six. Make it, you know, a little bit more fun, sweat it out a little bit more, and hopefully everyone else can sweat it out with us, enjoy some more football this Sunday. But let's wrap things up for Andrew Mackins at Andrew Mackins. I am Sam Hoppen at Sam Hoppen. You can follow our podcast account at Pod After TD. And with that, the kick is good.